May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. You brood of vipers! Seems John the Baptist was one cranky guy, not to mention really weird. Not for nothing, but something tells me that starting sermons this way would not work very well for anyone who isn't wearing a camel hair suit and eating locusts. As one commentator noted, that book, the Inspiration Bible, well, this passage didn't make it in. But the prophets in the Bible do get all the best lines, so remember that, all you kids that are going to be in the children's pageant next week. The prophets are also the ones telling people things they don't usually want to hear. And John's prophetic message not only made some there shift in their sandals, but was intended to scare the crap out of them. In John's day, it was people who had more than needed while others suffered. Tax collectors who demanded more than what was required. Soldiers who terrorized the people and extorted money. And yet John the Baptist is claiming to be preaching the good news. I don't think the folks standing on the banks of the river that day were all that thrilled to be called a bunch of venomous snakes. Where the heck is the good news in that? The answer is everywhere. And that was John's point. Because the answer is all around us. We need only look beyond our own fear. When they ask him what it is they need to do, John doesn't tell them they have to go join a religious order or fast, right? Or give away all that they have, right? Nothing that we might consider extraordinary acts of piety. He simply tells them to share in their excess and to be fair in their dealings with others. Essentially, to be compassionate, just, and unselfish. Kind of like what we learned in kindergarten, right? Be nice, play fair, share, right? Now, how many of y'all have ever heard of that book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, right? It's a great book. Robert Fulghum in it writes, "These are the things I learned in kindergarten. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say sorry when you hurt someone. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life, learn some, drink some, draw some, paint some, and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon," my personal favorite. "When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up and nobody really knows how or why, but we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Look." I guess it's true that all we ever needed to know, we learned when we were young. When we get older, we make it so complicated. But maybe if we remembered what it was like to be a kid, fearless, believing that a cape, and I think a wand, with those things we could do everything. Maybe we could. Maybe that's why Jesus was always reminding us that children are the closest to the kingdom of God. What keeps us from doing that? Fear. Fear that we won't have enough, or perhaps that others will have more, so we amass far more than we need. Fear that we aren't good enough, so we try to make others feel less than. Fear of what we don't understand, so we try to eliminate that from our view. It's all about fear. John's telling those folks on the banks and all of us today that we must let go of that fear, and that the way to do it is to let go and let God. It's not unlike the the words of another prophet, Isaiah, that we heard this morning, who said, "Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in God and not be afraid." If we can do that, then perhaps the word of St. Paul in the epistle this morning will really mean something. He wrote, "Rejoice! Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Even the prophet Zephaniah was getting in on it today, claiming, "The Lord your God is in your midst." Apparently those who decide on our lectionary one to slap us upside the head with something. All of these prophetic voices are telling us that God is here with us, always near and always coming to us, and that we have nothing to fear. But the thing is, we don't often act like it. You know, so often we say it would be nice if the spirit of Christmas was an all year through type of thing. No, I'm not talking about the part where people are beating each other up and fighting over parking spaces and pushing each other to get the latest toy. I'm talking about, you know, when you walk down the street and you see beautiful lights and singing Christmas carols. We often think, and everybody's nice to each other. We kind of wish that happened all year through. Well, it can be. But it's up to each of us to make that happen. And it doesn't take much to bring it about either. Just that we act like God is standing beside us. Well, because God is. How would that change you to think about God in that very real sense, being next to you all the time? No, I don't mean in that creepy stalker sort of way, but that God's love was never ending, right there for you to claim always. Because I think it would change the world one person at a time as we let go of the fear that binds us. You see, God is changing the broken reality of the world by changing people who then change the world. Jesus, the one whose birth we await, the one whom John the Baptist was preparing the world for, gave to us a model of love that we are called to live out every day. And this world needs us to step up, now more than ever, to be extraordinary through our ordinary acts. Because today we have our own share of snakes among us. Today the brood of vipers are the politicians who use fear to get votes. Terrorists who use fear to advance their cause, bullies in school who use fear to intimidate and make themselves feel better at the cost of another, religious organizations who use fear to marginalize anyone in power, who uses fear to keep people oppressed. How is the fear they try to spread different from what our prophet John was doing? While both preach fear, John preaches fear not of others, but of ourselves, our own actions, and the way we instill fear in others rather than love. John's saying it that those who would spread fear are the ones who should be most afraid, for they are the ones whose souls have gone dark. And what is this to do with us? Isn't it enough just to be fair, love people, and share what we have? Isn't that what John's saying? Yes, but only as a foundation for our lives as a people of God, to prepare to let God in our hearts. But we must do more. We also have to be prophets like John. It's not enough for us to do the right thing in our own actions, but we must also stand up against those who, out of their own fear, do all they can to infect the rest of the world, to create a never-ending dark night of the soul. Because our voice, our ordinary voice, can do extraordinary things, and our silence can be deadly to us and to all of God's creation. Martin Niemöller, who lived from 1892 to 1984, was a prominent pastor, prominent Protestant pastor, who emerged as an outspoken public foe of Adolf Hitler and spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. And many of you have probably heard this before. Niemöller is best remembered for this prophetic witness that came out of his own initial silence in the face of vipers. "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Many of us would like to say, I would never have done that. I would have said something, fought anything, but I would never have been silent. And I, God, pray that that's true. But I'm reminded of a story I heard about Nikita Khrushchev, the former leader of what was then the Soviet Union. And Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin. And once, as he censured Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? Who said that? Roared Khrushchev. And the room went silent. Nobody dared move a muscle. And then Khrushchev replied, now you know why. If we're honest with ourselves, we understand that fear of speaking out. It can often envelop us until we stand silent and we do nothing because of fear or perhaps because of ignorance. But if we do nothing, we may one day be forced to echo Niemöller's words in this way. First they came for the gays, and I did not speak out because I was not gay. Then they came for the immigrants, and I didn't speak out because I was not an immigrant. Then they came for the Muslims, and I did not speak out because I was not a Muslim. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. In our silence, in our inaction, we commit spiritual suicide. And we are complicit with the vipers in our midst. It's at these critical moments when we most need to ask what those people asked of John so long ago, what then should we do? And if we listen, really listen, we will hear God, the God in our midst, the Christ in our hearts telling us, do not be afraid, go. Go into the world to speak of justice, and I will be there with you, giving you the strength to stand up to power. Go out onto the streets and spread a message of love, and I will be there with you, helping you know what to say. Go to the lost, the lonely, the forgotten, the marginalized, the poor. Go to them, and I will be there with you, guiding you in what to do. But go, speak, do. We cannot just come here, relying on some sort of personal salvation to be enough. It isn't enough. It's a start, a first step in the journey of life with God, but not the journey itself. Any more than being a descendant of Abraham was considered enough in John's eyes for the people he was speaking to. In this time of Advent, most of all, we remember that God chose to dwell among us and is in our midst still. And if God did that, if God did that and deigns to enter into this world, to live among us, to walk with us now, then all of the world is sacred. It's holy ground. And one cannot stand on holy ground and not be moved to act when others would desecrate it with hate born of fear. We must act. But how do we start? Where do we begin to be a people capable of acts of courageous love in a world of hate and fear? It doesn't begin with heroics, but with our ordinary selves, being compassionate, kind, and just in what we say and do every day, at home, at work, and at play. It isn't heroic in the comic book sense, but in a very real way. It's the most heroic thing you can do, to live with the heart and mind of Christ. And it also begins with coming here, to be strengthened in Christ, to be reminded of just how extraordinary our ordinary acts are in bringing about the kingdom of God in a world desperately in need. If we do these things, these ordinary acts of love and worship, it will be impossible for us not then to step outside these walls and together with Christ be the prophetic voices of love and light that drowned out the vipers spreading fear and darkness. Because this love thing, this grace of God, it's infectious. And far more potent than any hate being spewed by the likes of ISIS, Trump, or any other voice of hate. God is calling each of us to be what we were created to be, ordinary people capable of extraordinary things. This Advent, as we prepare ourselves for the very small baby who changed the world, may we consider the small ways we can change our lives. May we open our hearts to see the God that is here with us now as we await God's presence with us at Christmas. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that we, these wonderfully ordinary children of a most extraordinary God, may be bearers of love, voices for justice, and workers for peace. Amen.